Dan Wiederer joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Happy London Week to you guys.
Yeah. When do you leave?
I don't leave till tomorrow, so okay. I'm a little bit of a straggler on this trip, but I will get there, and we'll see if the Bears can keep their momentum going.
Are you going with the Jags?
Yeah, Doug Peterson's going to stop by and swing by and pick me up, and then we'll roll over there, and I'll get on their body clock.
Well, Biggsy's already there, as you know, and he sounded really thrilled to be driving an hour and a half into the English countryside to find the Bears hotel.
That sounds about accurate. I'm only getting texts from Brad at this point, and so I'll take inventory on the hour just to see how he's acclimating over there.
So, Dan, let's start with the breaking news. Jaquan Brisker out for Sunday's game. Who does that elevate, and what do you think it'll have in terms of an effect?
Well, look, like Elijah Hicks seems to be the guy that would be next in line to be able to step into that role and do the things he was able to do a year ago when he was playing a fair amount with Brisker and Eddie Jackson dealing with their injuries last year. He's got experience. He can do things there. I have bigger long-term concerns about Jaquan Brisker because this will be the third consecutive season in which he's missed a game and possibly multiple games with a concussion. And so when you have these head injury issues and the repeated head trauma that Jaquan's had in his first 3 years in the league, you have to start looking through a bigger picture lens. And I do think it was responsible of the Bears to declare him out early in the week and not leave the door open, even a crack that he was going to try to make his way over there. But you really got to stop and take a long, hard look at how fast you try to come back when you've had repeated head injuries like Jaquan has.
Yeah, I just wonder, this does allow him 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't play in this game, and they're off next week, and then perhaps he's able to come back. But he did miss a couple of weeks the last time, so I just don't know what it means in terms of when he is back, et cetera.
Well, in his rookie season, Mully, also, he suffered what was essentially two major hits in the game against the Falcons, was evaluated both times, cleared to return to the game, and then ended up missing the following two games, and talked when he came back from that concussion about how challenging those 2 weeks were and just kind of dealing with that. And so it's scary stuff, you know, and it's easy to kind of minimize when you're in the thick of a football season with a team that seems to be getting ready to get on the up escalator here. And you've got to try to make some responsible decisions when emotion is involved. And so you just hope that there's the right people around to kind of steer this thing responsibly as Jaquan tries to figure out his best path back into action.
This segment with Dan Wiederer brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. So, Dan, it's a tough question, easier said than done, but if he does come back and he does obviously return to the Bears lineup, does he have to change the style with which he plays? Does he have to maybe be more conscious of his head and helmet? And it's a hard thing to ask at a game that goes at that pace, but you do hear that conversation about guys who are prone to concussions.
I just don't know if you can change. You know, it's just one of those things that's way easier said than done to say, okay, play different than you've played your entire life. Jaquan's strength is the passion he plays with, the aggression he plays with, and the way he's able to be in attack mode at all times. And so I don't know how you would go about that. It's an easy question to ask. It's a hard one to answer because I just don't know what the method would be to getting a guy in real time to slow down and subscribe to the hits principle while not hitting too hard.
You know, we also heard from Ryan Poles talking about how Larry Borum is close to coming back. I mean, it sounds like, you know, not this week, close to coming back. And obviously the same thing with Ryan Bates. He's getting healthier is the way he put it. So I don't know what that means. I would imagine with the bye week, you hold off on that sort of thing. But you got Tevin Jenkins, who made the trip. He's got an ankle. He wasn't in a walking boot after the game. And he went into the game with ribs. I'm just curious, when you went back and looked at the tape, did you see enough from Bill Murray to believe that he would be a capable starter in this game? Do you think he will start in the game, or do you think they'll try to go with Jenkins? And Nate Davis is just an afterthought at this point, maybe a backup piece until you get to the end of the season and you get rid of the sunk money.
I agree with the latter point for certain. Now, as it relates to Jenkins and Murray, it'd be interesting to see kind of how Tevin navigates the week. Obviously, went into last week's game with a ribs issue, and then he came out of it with a ribs issue and an ankle issue. And so you got to try to find your way back to steady ground there health-wise. I will say that I was more impressed than I expected to be with Bill Murray. I thought he played with a notable edge. Yeah. Throughout the time that he was on the field, and we talked in the first part of the season, is, you know, do they have one of those guys, right? Like where you can feel the nastiness every time he breaks the huddle, and Bill Murray played that way on Sunday, and so it's certainly something that might be worth a longer look if you're the Bears coaching staff, and you see where you go from there. You're going in on Sunday to play a Jacksonville defense that is bad. I mean, when you talk about timing guys, where you have a rookie quarterback who needs or can certainly benefit from a confidence surge at this point of his development, this string of games here recently has been really, really friendly, and this is the latest in the long line of them where you've got a Jaguars passing defense that is pretty, pretty poor right now and should give you some opportunities to make some plays.
Dan, who will have the edge at quarterback on Sunday?
I'm delaying here because I don't know what the right answer there is. Obviously Lawrence has a major advantage in experience and knowing what he's seeing. He's played in London before. He knows how to navigate the week probably more than Caleb does, and so that experience is a factor. But he certainly hasn't lived up to what Jacksonville thought he was going to be when they took him number one overall. And he's, you know, he's been paid, and you have all these other things playing in your favor. But I can't answer that, which is probably good news for the Bears that they're number one pick and his, you know, sixth start is in the same conversation with the guy who's been in the league for as long as Trevor has.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, I think that when we talk about Trevor Lawrence, it is one of these deals where you saw promise, you saw a guy make the playoffs, you saw a guy get paid, and now I don't know what we're seeing, and I don't know how to feel about the head coach. Because I thought that guy was a hell of a coach, and I thought that he was going to have success there. And it's just weird, Dan, that seems like a cursed draft class all of a sudden.
It is. It's crazy, and it's a reminder of how premature declarations on quarterbacks arriving is so just ridiculous in this day and age in the league. I mean, if you talk to me in the middle of January of 2023 with Trevor Lawrence, you know, beating the Chargers with a dramatic comeback win in the playoffs, going to Arrowhead, playing through a pretty significant challenge there and doing what he could to keep them in a game with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, you thought that they weren't only on the escalator, they were on the elevator. And now here we are a few years later, and it looks like, oh man, you know, you could be considering a reboot in that organization. And so that's why I've laughed through the month of September and early October with all these discussions about, you know, did the Bears make a mistake drafting Caleb Williams? Should they have taken Jaden Daniels instead? We can't answer these questions for 3 years. You know, it's going to take three seasons of production and track record and sample size to even come close to casting an informed verdict. And so hopefully we're all patient enough to kind of to ride this roller coaster the way it needs to be ridden.
So let's go back to the big story, because big picture wise, you wonder this: if Jaquan Brisker is out for an extended period of time, how different is this defense without him?
I mean, it's different, but I think a year ago, again, Elijah Hicks stepped in and you didn't notice him, which was a good thing, right? Like he came in and you weren't like, oh man, the backup safety's getting beat left and right and doesn't know where he's supposed to be. This defense is playing so well right now. And I think, what are we up to, 11 games now of allowing 21 points or fewer? That's going to keep you in football games every single week. You've got playmakers on all three levels. You've got that closer's mentality when closing is needed. And then last week there was no closing needed because the offense did its thing and you just held the opponent down so far that you just got the coast through the fourth quarter with a 20-point lead or more. And so I wouldn't be overly concerned that you're going to feel Brisker's absence to a significant level, particularly just given all of the number of guys that you have making plays. And you saw that Sunday against Carolina, the number of guys who made impact plays in that football game told you everything you need to know about this defense.
Dan, we heard from Kevin Warren this morning as well. And he talked about the stadium yet again. This is obviously his baby and everybody wants to know about it. And he's asked about it. Why do you think he keeps insisting that the downtown stadium is the way to go, and he keeps kind of hoping that he's going to convince someone of that. Do you believe that the $2.7 billion ask will eventually be delivered, if indeed he asks often enough or nicely enough? What is your take on the way that he seems to prefer downtown to the land they own in Arlington Heights?
Yeah, to me, Molly, it feels like a passion in the vision, right? And Kevin has been very married to what he thinks could be something that, through his eyes, would be really, really special down by the lakefront. Now, the other question you asked about how are you going to get it done and who are you going to convince to make it happen is one that's much more detailed and layered. And I just haven't seen any progress in that front to believe that they're going to be able to get momentum moved in that direction in order to put a shovel in the ground in 2025, which Kevin has not only insinuated is going to happen, he's been pretty emphatic that it will happen. And so now you have to show and not tell, you know, and that's what the upcoming 6 to 8 months are going to be about. You got to show progress on the stadium front, and you've got to give people an idea that there is actually forward momentum, because for too long we've just kind of been stuck in this holding pattern with a lot of vision and no progress. And so that's Kevin's responsibility to create that progress and to create that forward momentum. And to this point, there hasn't been a whole lot of it for a lot of different reasons. And you've got a lot of, you know, political factors in play and a lot of things that come into the equation. But pretty soon you're going to have to start to show direction and momentum on that project.
Dan, do you think somebody got to Shane Waldron after the Colts game? Because after calling 60 pass plays down in Indy and seeing the results of that disaster, the last 2 weeks have been surprisingly balanced, pretty efficient. And certainly Caleb Williams has taken care of the football, but it's been a game plan that has allowed him maybe to be more careful.
Well, do we think someone got to Shane Waldron? We know people got to Shane Waldron. The leadership, Matt Eberflus, a lot of people were in Shane Waldron's ears as they crossed that bridge from the Colts loss into the Rams week. And you know that there was some very forward conversations, some very forthright conversations that were had inside that building about what wasn't working and what folks thought could be helpful to getting things to work. One of Shane's greatest strengths when he came in here, according to those who hired him, was that he was going to be adaptable, that he was going to be open-eared and not stubborn and capable of adjusting to his personnel, to each week's matchup, to the dynamics at play. And he was going to be capable of listening to people around him to change when change was declared needed. And certainly they've been good the last 2 weeks in rallying. Now, the opponents have given them some, again, favorable matchups, and you're going to get another one Sunday in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And you just hope that you can continue to build momentum in a way that creates an identity for this offense that you can lean into. Really nice game overall. I mean, that Panthers defense was really bad, and then they were bad and injured by the time that game was over. But the Bears handled their business in that, and that should give them a little bit of added belief as they handle their business in London.
So we look at this game, and you know, obviously it's a game that is winnable on paper.
Oh, yeah.
That you feel pretty good about. Again, that their passing defense isn't great. You feel like the strides the Bears have made over the last couple of weeks can continue in London. Is it, you know, they've been good at home. Is it different for them? It's a home game technically, but is it different because of travel? Is there anything?
Yes. Yeah. No, I was going to say, Molly, that like if this game was at Soldier Field, I wouldn't even hesitate
right
to go lock in the Bears as winners. But there's so many different factors here with travel and how quickly you can get your focus there and how quickly you can get your body clock acclimated. And can you have the type of preparation week that you need to play this opponent? That's the X factor in all this. But when you look at the matchup, the Bears defense should be able to continue playing as well as it has through the first five games of the season. And Ryan Nielsen is in his first year coordinating this Jaguars defense. The last time the Bears saw him was on New Year's Eve when the Falcons came to town and Justin Fields and company laid like 430 yards and 37 points on him. And so he plays a heavy dose of man coverage with a secondary that really isn't good enough to play a heavy dose of man coverage. And so there's going to be opportunities all over the place for explosive passing plays. They've allowed three 300-yard passers through the first five games of the season. One of the guys who didn't get there was Josh Allen, who threw four touchdown passes and basically took most of the second half off. And so you understand here that if you're Caleb, go ask Fields and Mitch Trubisky what they thought about getting a heavy dose of man-to-man coverage against a defense that couldn't play it. And you understand that there's an opportunity here for a real production springboard for the Bears offense, and they better be capable of taking advantage because they're going to have plenty of opportunity on Sunday.
I take it you're done reading DJ Moore's body language now?
No, I'm going to keep reading it. I'm going to keep reading it because 1 week isn't enough to kind of to you know, suppress everything. I did think that he, you know, needed that on Sunday. I think he and Caleb together needed that. They needed that pressure release that came with not only having you know, 100-plus yard outing, but scoring twice and hitting on a couple big plays that turned the stadium upside down. And that feels good, right? And so then you take those feel good vibes and you go forward with them instead of dealing with the tension of, oh man, when am I going to get unlocked? But this is a long process and it's a long season. And so DJ's ability to kind of manage his patience and his frustration levels and everything that comes with playing alongside a rookie quarterback are going to be part of the focus for a while. Hopefully he just continues to have games like he had Sunday, and this all becomes pretty moot pretty quickly.
I know it's early in the week and you haven't made your pick yet. I'm just curious. We talked to Dave Wannstedt yesterday. He doesn't like the spot for the Bears, if that's a way of putting it. He just was a little hesitant about it. I don't think he likes this situation as much as some of these other games. Do you understand that idea? Do you agree with him in any way? Do you lean one way or another?
Fill me in a little bit more about what worries him.
I think it's just kind of where you are and what the team looks like, and you know, Jacksonville having been there as many times as they have, etc. I think it's more the spot than it is the game. It's not necessarily the matchup. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do know what you're saying.
It gave me pause, to be honest with you, hearing him.
The London factor is the one thing that's just stuck in the back of my brain on like, how are the Bears going to be able to navigate this as you know, quote unquote, first timers. Obviously, they've got several people on the coaching staff and the front office who have done this before, and they can figure out the best recipe to what works for them. But matchup wise, it's favorable. And again, if this game was by the lakefront on Sunday, I'd pick the Bears by, you know, 8 to 10 points and not even second guess it. But it there is a lot of factors that go into it. I know for myself individually going over in 2019, like I was wrecked by the jet lag and my body wasn't right the entire time I was there. And so a lot of people respond differently to that. And when you have to go out and play a high intensity football game for 3 hours on a Sunday, and you're not quite where you want to be, there's a small margin for error. And so I get what Dave's saying. I still think that this matchup's really favorable. And as long as the Bears don't go in overconfident from what they did against Carolina, they should be able to handle their business on Sunday.
Great stuff, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys. We'll talk soon.